Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Andre Reed, 2014 Pro Football Hall of Famer, and you are listening to the Pro Football Chase Podcast.
Hey, this is Trey Hendrickson, defensive end for the New Orleans Saints, and you're listening to the Pro Football Chase Podcast.
Hey, this is Micah Kaiser, linebacker for the LA Rams. You're listening to the Pro Football Chase Podcast.
This is Washington guard Wes Schweitzer, and you're listening to the Pro Football Chase Podcast.
Hey, it's Eric Harris, safety for the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're listening to Pro Football Chase Podcast.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome into the Pro Football Chase Podcast. It's Isaac Sines with you and my co-host, NFL defensive tackle Jarrell Worthy. And now, last week, I did not have a podcast due to an illness I had and travel plans and all that stuff. So it's good to be back on the podcast, Jarrell. I mean, this is a bizarre week of the NFL. Week number 12, considering the Steelers and Ravens, that game is postponed for a third time to play tomorrow early afternoon. We're going to give a little bit of a preview in that game, Jarrell. But first things first, man, how are you doing?
Bro, I'm doing excellent on this great afternoon. I want you to make clear for the fans, bro, you didn't have COVID, so they don't send like a boatload and truckload of like roses and all that stuff, bro. Just make sure you clarify that stuff for the fans. You just had a regular cold. It was just mild. It was regular cold, bro. So
Yeah. No need to worry or panic. I just got over a cold, a common cold. I already got the medicines in there, feeling better behind the mic for a podcast. So no worries out there. It's good to be back. Just getting my voice back to where it needs to be, Jarrell. But you know how it goes, man. We're gonna keep it. We're gonna keep it rolling right here. And I know one of the headlines for today's show, you were pretty happy about it based on what you commented on Instagram. The Lions fired Matt Patricia and GM Bob Quinn on Saturday. So they were fired on their off day. So how relevant is that for the Detroit Lions? So, Jarrell, you and I, man, we've talked a lot about Matt Patricia. We knew that this was eventually going to come. Patricia's record was 13-29-1 since taking over as the Lions coach in 2018. And Quinn had been the team's GM since 2016. And the Lions were 31-43-1 during his rocky tenure. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm excited, man, you know, for the Detroit Lions. You know, obviously ownership isn't excited because they obviously – have to continue to keep paying these coaches, even though they fire them, they are paying these coaches up until their contracts are over with, which is very unfortunate if you're an owner. But as far as the players' perspective, man, I mean, you know, these guys are very excited. I think a lot of guys really were very looking forward to this transition that the Lions are making. I think that the organization really tried to do things the Patriot way. I mean, the Lions were desperate, man. Like, you have to understand, they haven't had a winning season in over a decade. And so you have to take into account, you know, where they were standing at as an organization. And so they tried to pull some pieces out their hat with Patricia and also with Quinn, as well as the strength coach with Coach Harold, as well as the nutritionist and everything like that. They brought along the entire almost New England staff to Detroit. And so we just basically come to realize that the Patriot way didn't work this time around.
And it seems like a lot of the players, man, I'm looking at Eric Ebron, Darius Slay, Quandre Diggs, all those guys were trolling Matt Patricia on social media after he was fired. And again, there are a lot of players, former players in particular, that have been very outspoken about how Patricia did not rub them the right way when they were in Detroit. So that just speaks volumes, Jarrell, about how players responded and reacted toward Matt Patricia. I mean, it says it all when you got players out there laughing about Matt Patricia being fired as well as Bob Quinn. So certainly the culture there in Detroit was toxic.
Well, I just think you have to understand that, you know, coming from New England, coming from a winning organization, you honestly think that you have some type of power. You think that, you know, the program in which you've been successful in is going to work with other players. And realistically, it's just not like that. Like, yeah, as a head coach, man, as a guy in a position, even from a GM perspective, you got to know the personality of your locker room. You got to know whether or not it's a young team that needs some veteran leadership around it, or you have a room full of vets that just kind of needs the right head coach to fuel them in the right direction in order to get their priorities together. And so, you know, realistically, man, like I said, the Lions were pulling straws when they hired, you know, Patricia and Quinn. You know, he has success under Bill Belichick, but you have to understand, man, it's not a lot of most of the guys that leave New England, leave that house up on the hill, man, they haven't had necessarily the best success in other places. So you can just add Patricia and Quinn to the list.
Yeah, so now moving on to a team in the AFC, Jarrell. And this was on Sunday. The Jaguars fired GM Dave Caldwell after a third consecutive season of double-digit losses. Caldwell had been the Jaguars GM since January of 2013 and had presided over only one winning season. The Jaguars were 39-86 in his tenure and have lost 10 or more games in every season under Caldwell except for that 2017 season when they went to the AFC title game. So they lost to the Browns 27-25 on Sunday. Jacksonville's 1-10, Jarrell. So owner Shad Khan told head coach Doug Marrone and his staff that they are safe through the end of the 2020 season. So I think the writing's on the wall there. I'm more than positive that they will be moving on from Doug Marrone after the season. They currently have the number 2 overall pick in the draft. So a clear path to what looks to be Justin Fields. So the franchise quarterback, it looks like he's their guy at this point. Unless the Jets somehow pull off some wins, which I don't think that's the case, Jacksonville will be picking 2nd in the 2021 NFL draft. So that's another organization that did not want to waste any more time in making a change at the top.
Well, I mean, obviously, man, the Jaguars' performance has been subpar for a number of years. They tried to buy their way into the AFC South when they acquired all of those high and heavy big-time free agents to bolster their defense. Then you have opportunity. They draft Jalen Ramsey. And then, you know, they bring over A.J. Bouye over from the Houston Texans in a major deal and gave out just a lot of money all over the place. And they have to and obviously it's just been very, very bad for them as a team. And I just think that they have to find somebody that knows the team, like I said before, that's going to come in and figure out what these guys, what they have in the locker room and have to build around that. The number 2 overall pick is obviously a great start. There's some great quarterbacks this upcoming this year, man, that you probably want to take a look at. But otherwise, man, I definitely think that the Jaguars have with a high draft pick and they have some pieces to work around within their organization. They're going to have to find a way to get better. Their offensive line isn't bad. Their receivers on the outside is bad or aren't the best, but their defense is just very subpar.
So the Jaguars joined the Lions in a little bit of an early house cleaning at the top. And so we're going to go ahead and segue into an underappreciated storyline of Week 12. Now, we know Week 12 has not concluded because the Ravens and Steelers play tomorrow. But from what we've seen from Sunday's action and last Thursday for Thanksgiving, I want to highlight an underappreciated storyline. It could be a coach, a player, a team. So, Jarrell, what is one storyline that you don't think is getting enough love as we prepare for week number 13?
Well, realistically, for me, speaking of all the people that have come up under Bill Belichick, I want to give a shout-out and an underappreciated shout-out to Bill Belichick. I mean, like, realistically, you know, you have the New England Patriots. They've been on a 2-game winning streak over the last couple weeks. They've won games in which we thought that they were going to simply get dominated in. They beat a good Arizona Cardinals team yesterday. And realistically, if I give you the statistics, they won without having thrown a touchdown pass. The starting quarterback threw 2 interceptions. There was no 100-yard rusher. They got out coached in probably every position: passing yards, total yards, rushing yards, sacks allowed, third down efficiency, and they still found a way to win the game, man. So my shout out goes to Bill Belichick. Being able to continue to coach games through the terrible situation he has to deal with in New England.
Yeah, that was interesting, man. And it's funny because the Patriots have kind of been an up-and-down team. One week, they look like a contending team in the AFC, and you're like, wait a second, we cannot count this team out. And then one week, they look atrocious, like against the Jets on Monday Night Football a couple weeks ago. We're like, man, this team is really bad. They've hit rock bottom. So credit to Bill Belichick, you know, for keeping his players fighting through it all. And again, coming away with a big-time victory over an NFC wildcard team in the Arizona Cardinals. So that is well-deserved for Bill Belichick. But, Jarrell, here's my underappreciated storyline. And it's the Cleveland Browns moving to 8-3. I know that everything that's going on in the AFC North with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Ravens and the COVID cases, and of course, Pittsburgh stealing the limelight because they're undefeated. But nobody's talking about the Cleveland Browns moving to 8-3. I know that their win against Jacksonville wasn't all that impressive, but of course, they were without some star players in Myles Garrett, who, by the way, was just activated from the COVID list today. And then Pro Bowl corner Denzel Ward was also missing for the Cleveland Browns. But, Jarrell, when you look at the numbers, all right, I mean, Cleveland's 12 straight years finishing under 500 was tied for the second longest in NFL history. Only the Buccaneers from 1983 to 1996 had a longer stretch of consecutive losing seasons. And how about this, man? They're 8-3. They're now assured of a 500 season with just five games left to play. And how about head coach Kevin Stefanski? You know, it's the best start by a Browns first-year head coach since 1963, Blanton Collier. So GM Andrew Berry, Stefanski, they're doing something right, Jarrell, in Cleveland. I know Baker Mayfield has been up and down, but he did complete a four straight game without an interception. So right now it's game management, because when you have the best ranked rushing attack with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, which, by the way, they're averaging 161.4 yards per game with a 5.0 yards per carry average. So when you have that on offense, Baker Mayfield doesn't have to do too much. The Cleveland Browns, I'm going to show them some love on this podcast.
Yeah, you got to give your hat off to them. But I also, you know, would understand that, you know, Kevin Stefanski inherited a phenomenal group on paper. And like I said before, it comes about to knowing your personalities within the locker room and guys to structure those guys headed in the right direction. So I definitely give a shout out to Kevin Stefanski and their coaching staff and their continued success. But they have everything that they needed. They've always had it ever since last year. They just needed somebody to help push them in the right direction.
All right, now we're going to move on to that game preview that I teased at the beginning of the show, the Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This game is finally going to be played. It appears, right? We cannot speak too soon, but 3:40 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday afternoon. How bizarre is that, Jarrell? The COVID outbreak in Baltimore led to this game being postponed three times. It was supposed to be played on Thursday night, then it was moved to Tuesday. Now it's on Wednesday. We understand that Baltimore is going to be without a lot of players, but I am hearing that J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram will be eligible to play tomorrow, coming off that COVID list. Lamar Jackson is out for Pittsburgh. James Conner, Stephon Tuitt, they're still out as well. So it'll be Robert Griffin against Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who do you like in this game?
Come on, man. You know who I like in this game. I'm rolling with Big Ben. I'm rolling with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Although Big Ben is literally at the bottom half of the NFL statistically-wise. He continues to manage their offense effectively, and they continue to put up points. And their defense, man, I know that RG3 is a turnover machine, and I'm just going to roll with I'm going to roll with the Pittsburgh Steelers being able to create a lot of turnovers, and I think they have an opportunity to win 27-13.
Man, that's crazy. Our scores are almost right on. I'm going with the Steelers as well. 27-10, though. We all know what it is. They're playing in Pittsburgh. That defense, they're still pretty strong. They haven't lost a whole lot of players other than Tua. They got Isaiah Buggs off the COVID list yesterday, so he'll be back. But yeah, without Lamar Jackson, and of course, even if Dobbins and Ingram do play, they haven't been at the team facility, they haven't practiced, so I like Pittsburgh to win 27-10. We'll see how that one unfolds, Jarrell, but let's get right into week number 13. So we're going to turn the page now, because we got some big-time showdowns on Sunday, Jarrell. Browns, Titans, both of these teams are 8-3 in what should be a heavyweight affair. We know the Browns are going to have Myles Garrett back on defense. The Titans coming off that dominant performance against the Colts on Sunday. Derrick Henry cannot be stopped. Man, I'm going to have to go with the Titans here, Jarrell. I mean, I've picked them pretty much all season long. Mike Vrabel has this team turning that corner. They went into a little bit of a slump when all that COVID issue came upon them a couple of months ago. But man, Derrick Henry is looking phenomenal again. He just racked up another massive performance, 178 yards, 3 touchdowns, and A.J. Brown on the outside. I like the Browns a lot, as I just gave him some love earlier on the podcast, but I just can't pick against Tennessee at this point, Jarrell. So give me Tennessee over Cleveland, 27-17.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Titans as well. I think it's going to be a little bit higher scoring game, although I'm still going to give the edge to the Titans. I think they're going to win 31-24 on a few reasons. Experience, being in this position more often than the Browns have been in this position, having a better running attack, having the better, Nick Chubb is a hell of a running back, but we're just talking about a guy that's been there before in these types of situations, knowing what he means to his football team. I'm just going to roll with Derrick Henry in this situation. And Ryan Tannehill over Baker Mayfield, man. I think when a push comes to shove, I like Ryan Tannehill's decision-making over Baker Mayfield, so this is why I go 31-24.
Raiders at Jets. The Raiders got spanked by the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. That was not an outcome that many of us expected. They're 6-5 now, trying to stay in playoff contention. They'll play those 0-11 New York Jets and Adam Gase, Jarrell. I know you love Adam Gase. So are you going to roll with them Jets this week?
Bro, you know I'm not rolling with the Jets. I'm going to roll with the Raiders. I think they're going to come out, be dominant. They have to get themselves back on track, so I look forward to watching that. And they're going to be physical. I think that they're going to be physical because they got their behinds whooped last week. And so I like the Raiders, and I like them to be dominant, man, 34-10.
It seems like every team that comes off an ugly loss and they have the Jets on the schedule, it just seems like it's an automatic rebound performance against the Jets, and that's exactly what's going to be the case for the Las Vegas Raiders. I like them to win big, 31-16 over the Jets. They're going to dominate the rushing attack, even if Josh Jacobs, for some reason, who's battling that ankle injury, if he can't go, Devontae Booker will step in and perform at a high level. This is a big-time opportunity for John Gruden and the Raiders to get back on track. So I like Vegas in that game. Now Jaguars at Vikings. Jacksonville 1-10. Vikings 5-6. They're still trying to stay afloat in that NFC playoff picture, Jarrell. I like Minnesota to win this game 26-13 for obvious reasons. The Jacksonville Jaguars just aren't very good, especially now they're starting Mike Glennon. And Minnesota is a dangerous team when they're firing on all cylinders. Dalvin Cook, he was banged up a little bit last week, but he's not expected to miss any time. 827 total yards, Jarrell, over the past 5 games for Dalvin Cook. Look for him to keep it going on Sunday. Minnesota 26-13 over Jacksonville.
Yeah, we have similar scores in this one. I'm going to roll with Minnesota 24-10. I just think that they have an opportunity to get themselves back on track. They got beat up a little bit and embarrassed last week. And I think that even though that they won, they were getting dominated throughout the game primarily. And so I'm going to still roll with the Vikings to get themselves back on track. offensively, defensively, and to have a more impressive victory this weekend, more than a late game field goal. So I'm going to roll with these guys 24-10.
Bengals at Dolphins. Dolphins 7-4, so they're rolling and headed in the right direction after another victory. I like Miami all day, every day. We don't know who's going to be starting yet because Tua is dealing with that left thumb injury, and Coach Brian Flores said, hey, he's not going to rush him back, and even if it's Fitzmagic, I like him to get the job done. It doesn't matter. The Bengals clearly are in a quarterback dilemma. When Joe Burrow went down, they've turned to Brandon Allen, and they weren't able to knock off the Giants at home. They're going to have a tough one against that Miami defense. Give me the Dolphins to win 27-10 over Cincinnati.
Yeah, I like their defense to come out and be highly competitive and very impressive. It doesn't necessarily matter whether Tua or Fitzmagic is behind the line of scrimmage. I think that Brian Flores knows what's at stake as far as their place in the division. With New England crawling on their heels and Buffalo still out there in reach. And so I think that these guys are going to be very competitive, and I'm going to roll with a score of 31-13.
We have a little bit more of an intriguing matchup here in the AFC South. The Colts 7-4 coming off that loss to the Tennessee, and the Texans, who've done a lot of winning since Bill O'Brien was fired. They're 4-7 coming off a nice win over the Lions on Thanksgiving. But Jarrell, last night, two Texans starters, Bradley Roby and Will Fuller, suspended for 6 games because of a PED violation. That doesn't help, especially when Randall Cobb's on IR. They just cut Kenny Stills. So all that's left there at receiver, it almost seems like, is Brandon Cooks. I almost am tempted to go with Houston because they've been playing good football, but the Colts are going to get DeForest Buckner back, who was out because he's on the COVID list, and he's a huge part of what that Indianapolis defense is. So I'm going to take the Colts to win this game, but by a slim margin, 27-24 over the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Colts as well, man. They know what's at stake as far as keeping pace in this division. They got thumped last week when the Tennessee Titans came into town, and so they have to find themselves, reeling on the ropes, and they have to bounce back. And so I'm going to roll with the Colts as well. I think that they are going to run the football, and their defense is going to have a way to contain Deshaun Watson. So I'm going to roll with Phillip Rivers, man. Hopefully he doesn't let me down. I'm going to roll with them 29-13.
Lions at Bears, NFC North matchup, Jarrell. Lions and the Bears, man, it has been pretty atrocious for both of those teams the last several weeks. And we saw on primetime, Mitchell Trubisky got a start, didn't look very good. Green Bay absolutely walloped them on national TV. And we're still not sure if Nick Foles is going to be healthy for this game. So Mitchell Trubisky could be making a second start. We'll see. So this game, man, I think it's going to be a battle of field goals, basically. So I'm going to take the Bears to win an ugly, sloppy game at home just because of that defense, 20-16.
Yeah, I think it's going to be actually even a closer game than I wouldn't necessarily say closer game. I think the Lions are going to be kicking field goals a lot, and the Bears are going to be as well. I think that they're going to find a way to get a defensive touchdown. So I'm going to roll with them in a score of 17-9.
Saints at Falcons. Oh, well, the Saints are 2-0 since Taysom Hill has taken over for the injured Drew Brees, although he's doing a lot of running. The Falcons, man, I mean, Raheem Morris, since he took over as interim head coach, it looks like he's lit a spark in that organization because they're playing some good football right now. So this could be maybe a trap game for the Saints, but I'm not quite going to buy into that idea, Jarrell, because the Saints defensively are making big-time strides. I know they went against a quarterback-less Broncos team. Kendall Hinton, a rookie, called up from the practice squad, played college ball at Wake Forest, but we all know how it is. It wasn't really a fair game, but I like the Saints either way, Jarrell. This is a team that's firing on all cylinders. They've won 8 consecutive games, but I like them in a close one to Atlanta. So give me the Saints 23-17 over Atlanta.
When I'm looking at it, you know, the Falcons had a very impressive win last week. Most teams in the NFL always do for those. And so I just think that the Falcons had their day. But the Saints, run this division. And so I'm going to still stick with the Saints to be very competitive. and dominate this team. And I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I'm going to take the Saints 34-26.
Giants, the NFC East leading New York Giants, will travel to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, who just knocked off the Eagles on Monday Night Football, 8-3. This is a Seattle team that now is gunning for maybe a top spot in the NFC. We'll see if they can contend for that, but they're at home. I know the Giants have been playing some better football. Daniel Jones is unlikely to play on Sunday. It'll be Colt McCoy. Either way, I'm always going to roll with Russell Wilson in this matchup against the Giants, so I like Seattle, Jarrell, 34-20 in what should be a nice offensive outing from Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett. I look for a bounce back game from him after being shut down against Philadelphia.
Yeah, man. I mean, they, you know, those guys were, you know, primarily invisible other than DK Metcalf. And I mean, shout out to Russell Wilson again. He continues to put up these MVP type of numbers. And just extending plays, man. The offense in Seattle, there's not a lot of playmakers over there other than DK and maybe Chris Carson when he decides to get going. So I'm going to roll with the Seahawks in this one again. I think that they're going to be highly competitive. I'm going to roll with them 27-13.
Rams at Cardinals, Drill. This is a big game for playoff positioning in that NFC West. Both teams coming off a loss in week number 12. Jarrell, who are you going to roll with here?
I'm going to roll with the Rams because they've been there before. You know, both of them look very subpar. I think they kind of overlooked in contention for this game. And I like the Rams in this one, man. I like McVay to be able to be persuasive in how he goes about his offensive game planning. And I just think that these guys are going to be very effective on defense. So I like the Rams. I like Aaron Donald. And I like these guys to pull out a close one, though. 37-31.
You mentioned the defensive dominance for the Rams, and that's exactly why I, too, am going with the Rams to knock off Arizona. Aaron Donald, once again, wreaking havoc in the backfield. I look for him to be dominant again against that Arizona team that's reeling right now. Cliff Kingsbury has been out of sorts when it comes to managing the game. Offensively, they've been stagnant at times. I like for McVay and his squad to bounce back, win a big-time road game in the division, 33-30. I look for it to be an exciting game, but LA, I believe, will come out on top. Now we'll move to the next game here on Week 13 slate. The Patriots, 5-6 at the Chargers, 3-8. Jarrell, this is a Patriots team. They are still lingering around in that wild card playoff contention. So are you going to roll with them to get it done over L.A.?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Bill here, man. I think Anthony Lynn, they're going to have a very exciting game plan. But I just think that Bill realizes where he needs to be in order to be in contention in this division. So I think that they're going to pull out a close one, man. It's going to be rough. It's going to be nasty, but it's going to be a close one, bro. And I think it's going to be 21-17.
Man, we have very similar scores, except this is my upset special, week number 13. The Chargers, as I mentioned, the Patriots have kind of been up and down. They show some flashes where you're thinking, man, this team could really make the playoffs. I think this is going to be a down game for New England. The Chargers, they're 3-8. You know they need to win if they want to save Anthony Lynn's job. Right now, they're trending downward. But I'm going to take them because Justin Herbert, man, I mean, the things he's been able to accomplish, 9 starts, he's thrown for over 3,000 yards, 23 touchdowns to just 7 interceptions. I like this to be a close game, but I'm going to roll with the Chargers here, 24-17. And Joey Bosa has been dominant for LA, so I look for him to be an impact player yet again against Cam Newton on Sunday. So next game, Eagles at Packers. This is going to be a bloodbath, man. I mean, the Eagles look really bad, as really the rest of the NFC East does. Packers, they are playing at a high level. Aaron Rodgers, MVP candidate. You know, this is a simple game to pick here, Jarrell. I'm taking Green Bay 34-17 in what should be a lopsided affair.
I'm actually going to think it's going to be a closer game than what people are going to give them credit for. These are two teams that are kind of similar in the offensive scheme. And so I think that the defense and the Eagles are going to be more competitive than what people give them credit for. Although I'm still going to roll with the Green Bay Packers in the score 31-24.
Broncos at Chiefs. This is Sunday Night Football on NBC. Broncos 4-7. We know the dilemma they have to deal with the quarterbacks being unavailable. They'll have Drew Locke back, but the Chiefs, they're 10-1. They pulled off another victory against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I like them to get the job done, Jarrell. I'm not sure this Denver defense can hold for four quarters, although they have been playing some promising ball, but Kansas City will get the job done 30-20.
I'm going to roll with Kansas City as well. I think they're in playoff contention and they're ready to roll. So I'm going to roll with these guys as well, 37-20.
Now we go to Monday's football games. Washington 4-7, right at the top of the division, along with the Giants at the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we're going to predict two games for the Steelers and Ravens just because of the timing of this episode. I like Pittsburgh to win this game 23-13. That Washington front seven is the real deal, though, so they may hang in there a little bit. But Pittsburgh has too much firepower on offense, and their defense is just as dominant, so they'll be able to shut down Alex Smith as well. So 10-point victory, 23-13 for the Steel Crew.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Steel Curtain as well, man. It's playoff time, bro. They know what's up, and I know at the end of the day, that first round bye is in reach for these guys, and they know what it needs to get done. And they know they also understand that Kansas City is right on their heels, so they can't have a slip up as well. And so I think at the end of the day, the Steelers know what's going on, and I look for these guys to be dominant and to be dominant in this game as well. I'm going to go with 34-13.
The second game of Monday Night Football's doubleheader, the Bills and the 49ers. Niners with that impressive win over the Rams. They've now swept LA Rams the last couple of years. The Bills got that victory over the Chargers, 8-3. As much as I want to go with the Niners to play that underdog card, I'm not. The Bills have been able to string together some impressive performances. Josh Allen and that offense, Stephon Diggs, they're going in the right direction as well. Brian DeBall, a lot of credit to him for calling good offensive plays. So Buffalo, I like them to get it done, 28-17 over San Francisco.
Yeah, I like Buffalo in prime time. I like them in the sunny sunny California, and I like them to dominate, man. Like I said before, they got to stay ahead of the sticks when it comes to this division because the Dolphins are right there on their tail. So I'm going to roll with these guys 21-13.
And to close out week number 13 on a Tuesday night, it's my Dallas Cowboys taking on the Baltimore Ravens. And you know what, Jarrell, Lamar Jackson is going to be cleared as most of the other players who are on the COVID list. So for the Cowboys' luck, it's not going to be as fortunate. I'm going to go ahead and go with Baltimore big in this game, 35-17. The Cowboys, they gave us a little glimmer of hope, and then they did not show up on Thanksgiving. They laid an egg to the Washington football team. Right now, it's hard to trust this Cowboys squad, especially now they're without Zach Martin, one of their all-pro guards for the foreseeable future. And we all know Baltimore is a dominant defense. So, yeah, Ravens big time, 35-17.
Well, you already know that I'm rolling with the Ravens, bro. I think that they're going to get their heads thumped over the last next couple of weeks, especially with this Pittsburgh game and not having many players. So why not take it out on the Dallas Cowboys, bro? I think they're going to win 34-20, and I just think they're going to be dominant.
Man, I'm shocked. I thought you would go with the Cowboys. I know you're a Cowboys fan secretly, Drill. So
I am not going with the Cowboys, man. You know I'm not going with the Cowboys, man.
Hey, man, I'm just checking in, bro. I'm just checking in.
Come on now, bro. You know I'm not going with the Cowboys, man. Hey, big trust. Big trust.
Hey, how about them Cowboys? I'll get that in there. We'll see, you know, how that game unfolds on Tuesday. Not very optimistic as a Cowboys fan. But anyways, that does it for week number 13 of the NFL season. That's going to be coming up this weekend. Of course, we got football tomorrow, early afternoon. If you're working, stream it live on that NFL mobile. And if you're at home, great, you can enjoy it as well. But Jarrell, again, man, I appreciate you making the time to join the podcast today. We're shifting things around a little bit, but everything is still good. Blessings to you, man, and looking forward to seeing some more football this week.
Man, I'm so excited, bro. You know, the closer we get to the playoffs, the better the competition, the more that teams that aren't going to make the playoffs are trying to knock other teams off. So I'm very excited. Thank you again for bringing me on the podcast, and continue to stay safe out there, bro. Let's keep going.
All right, brother. Take care and blessings. Stay safe as well.
Yes, sir. You too, bro.